Macmillan Audio presents Strongheart, The Lost Journals of May Dodd and Molly McGill by Jim Fergus. Read for you by Laura Hicks and Eric Steele. From Caucasus Tradition, Nart Saga 26. In olden times, the earth thundered with the pounding of horses' hooves. In that long-ago age, women would saddle their horses, grab their lances, and ride forth with their menfolk to meet the enemy in battle on the steppes. The women of that time could cut out an enemy's heart with their swift, sharp swords. Yet they also comforted their men and harbored great love in their hearts. From the Amazons, Lives and Legends of Warrior Women Across the Ancient World by Adrian Mayer. Archaic Greeks had heard about people ranging over the Black Sea steppes region, a warrior society that exhibited a remarkable degree of sexual equality. Their non-Greek name, sounding something like Amazon, was adapted to the epic form of ethnonyms, thus Amazones. The descriptive epithet Antianere was added to call out the most notable feature of this group, gender equality. The epithet was feminine to emphasize the extraordinary status of women among this particular people, relative to the status of women in Greek culture. Unlike most other ethnic groups familiar to the Greeks, in which men were the most significant members, among Amazones, it was the women who stood out. From Pablo Picasso, Everything that can be imagined is real.
Prologue by J.W. Dodd III, Editor-in-Chief, Chi-Town Magazine. June 2019. For the benefit of new readers of this magazine, a short explanation is in order here. This is the third and final installment of the 1,000 White Women series. The first installment was published more than 20 years ago by my late father, J. Will Dodd, the founding publisher and editor-in-chief of Chi-Town Magazine, under the title The Journals of May Dodd, written by our ancestor of that name in 1875-76. Upon my dad's sudden death, I, J.W. Dodd, took over his dual positions on the masthead. Shortly after I began my tenure as editor-in-chief, a young Cheyenne Indian woman by the name of Molly Standing Bear came to my office bearing a second bundle of journals, one that I myself edited and published here in serial form, under the title The Journals of Margaret Kelly and Molly McGill. Those readers familiar with the magazine and that second installment may remember that the final journal entry ended rather abruptly, without any particular resolution. This was not an editorial decision for the purpose of leaving readers hanging on the cliff, although that, ironically, is precisely where they were left, as I was reminded in numerous irritated letters to the editor, but simply because Molly Standing Bear, for justifiable reasons, did not entirely trust me and had withheld the remaining journals in her possession. Although I had only been running the magazine for this short time, after a long and harrowing night of reading the journals, I decided on impulse to take a kind of unofficial leave of absence. To this end, from a storage barn on our family farm in Libertyville, Illinois, I resurrected my father's beat-up old 1972 Airstream trailer and the 1979 GMC Suburban with which he pulled it on our summer trips to Indian Country when I was a boy. After roughly 10 days of cleaning and trips to my mechanic, doing our best to make both of these decrepit vehicles at least minimally functional and roadworthy again, I set out from Chicago for the Tongue River Indian Reservation in southeastern Montana. My ostensible reason for this flight west was to try to convince Molly.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?